Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with the help of Hims. They provide access to personalized treatments so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Yeah, 3 to 6 months. That's it, kids. Hims offers convenient access to a range of prescription hair loss treatments with ingredients that work, including chews, oral medications, serums, and sprays, doctor-trusted, clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil can stop hair loss and regrow your hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of your own home. Fill out an intake form, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. The process is 100% online, which means getting started has never been more convenient. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Plus, treatment options start at $35 per month. Hims has helped hundreds of thousands of men get their confidence back with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/drinking bros. That is Hims.com/drinking bros for personalized hair loss treatment options. Hims.com/drinking bros. Individual results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts NatureScapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, kids. We got a blast from the past. One of our old school favorite homies is here.
Wow.
He disappeared. He left us in the lurch. I was a child with a kite in the forest, and I had no father. But he's returned today. Can I call you Mr. Machine? It's Tank Machine, but can I call you Mr. Machine?
Yeah, you can call me Mr. Machine. That's thank like you. Sounds like a graduated name. So
thank
work.
You.
What
yeah.
about the Machinist? Because you know what the Machinist reminds me of, right?
Baggy Batman.
Baggy Batman.
Oh.
I showed that to her for the first time last night. She'd never seen it before. That,
dude.
That clip with Charlie.
By the way, we're talking about Christopher. I only call him Christopher because we're close. He goes by Christian in the press. Christian Bale,
oh,
who
yeah.
played Batman and yep. the Machinist, which he was down to 120 pounds for.
Yeah.
Creepy. So what we like to do is put people from other roles inside their other roles. So if he was Christian Bale from The Machinist as Batman, the costume would be super baggy and it would just be him just walking around.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, because he'd be too thin.
He's like,
know?
Looking out through one of the eye holes because the suit doesn't fit properly.
I think he actually was real thin in that, right?
Real? Yeah. Oh, dude.
No, he was like 127.
No yeah. lie, he was like 127.
He lost like 80 pounds or something, right?
Something crazy, yeah. man.
My favorite one is to imagine Tom Hanks from Philadelphia, but in big. So he's a kid with AIDS, basically. Then he becomes a man with AIDS afterwards.
Or Matthew McConaughey and what's that
Dallas
movie?
Buyers
Dallas
yeah,
Buyers
Dallas
Club,
Buyers
yeah.
Club. Yeah. Yeah. I like to think of Matthew McConaughey playing Jesus.
Yeah, yeah, all the time you do that.
It's one of my favorite things yeah. ever because it's Matthew McConaughey can play any role, but he always is Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah.
So just imagine him as Jesus.
All yeah. right, all right, all right.
Yeah, man. Have you sinned? You think you've sinned, man. If you think you've sinned, you got to just keep living, man.
I think that you just hit that on the head.
Yeah, right. Well, we've been doing that bit for a while.
Yeah,
but anywho's, we're happy to have you here.
Thanks, man.
You have a fascinating life story, in my opinion. And
to me, when we met, like, dude, you were like at the height of like social media and everything. You had a fucking massive following.
Yeah, I was.
Massive. And then it appears, because I didn't know, I still don't know, which is why I wanted to have you on today. I don't know what happened, but it feels like you just deleted all of your shit and then just walked away from all of it.
I did, yeah. I deleted everything one day.
Okay, so what happened? Because if I remember correctly, the last time you were on the show, I think you were at like 1 million Instagram followers or something crazy like that.
No, it was less than that, but I think I had like 2 million subscribers on Snapchat. I think I had... It was over 1 million on one of my Facebooks. Mm-hmm. I had a personal Facebook that had like 300,000. Instagram, I think I might have been at like 300K or something.
Yeah, and it was back in the time where like, still even today, if you would have kept going with that, the way you could have monetized it was so massive that I was just like, holy shit, he's just going to give all that up? I mean, to put it in perspective, when I was there, I was meeting with those guys about social media because I was super late to the game.
Yeah.
And I hadn't even started it, right? Mm-hmm. And let alone if you look back at it now, shit, man, you could have a coffee company. You could have, like a podcast. All of it went through social media, essentially. Yeah. And with you, when just walking away from it, I was just like, wow, what the fuck, man? Yeah. What happened that made you do that?
Well, I think, to answer that question correctly, I have to go into why I even started.
Okay.
I'm a Marine. I went through a really nasty divorce, and I ended up one day, I was just depressed. I was depressed, I was going through a lot of stuff, and somebody had filmed me messing around with somebody on the street in Fort Worth, Texas. I was calling Cadence on somebody one day, and then somebody else had filmed me calling Cadence with a bunch of pulleys at a Marine function, and those videos just started blowing up. Well, one day I just got on the internet and this is crazy. I got an American flag thong. I jumped on a donkey and I had an American flag in my hand and I was riding down the side of the highway and it was like stopping traffic and people were filming and they were like, what the hell's going on? And I was just like, I'm just here to have a good time. And that video just kind of exploded.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started to realize like I started to feel better inside about myself. I wasn't depressed. I wasn't having anxiety issues at the time. And then all these veterans, Ross, were like writing me, dude, that just made me laugh. This morning I woke up wanting to put a gun in my mouth and literally you just reminded me of why I'm here. And so over time, me doing all those crazy videos and all the things that I was saying and doing, I never wanted to own a coffee company. I never wanted to own my own business. I never really wanted to be famous. I didn't want to sit there and have people pat me on the back. What I wanted was to put a smile on somebody's face that was just having a bad day. I wanted to be known as that guy.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, that's the way that most of us, as we know, the vast majority of people who are in the comedy industry are severely depressed and use this as an outlet, not only to help other people, but it has the same effect on us. Like if you're making other people laugh, you're also making yourself laugh, which like it gets you through the day.
Absolutely.
Honestly, it's like a form of therapy to do this shit.
Absolutely.
A lot of people don't understand that. They think it's just like that people get this idea that it's all about getting the attention or trying to make money off of it. Actually, no, it's just kind of about staying alive a lot of times.
Yeah. 100%. And with because we were talking about Matt's book before we came on, right?
Yep.
In Matt's book, we write about that as well, because I asked the same question. I was like, why did you get started in YouTube and all that stuff? And he was like, man, I didn't like, I was bored over there. I didn't know what to do. And I missed doing something fun and making people laugh.
Yeah.
So he's like, I just put out the videos and whatever happened, happened.
Yeah.
Similar to your situation. However, Matt kept on doing that.
Yeah. He did it the right way.
Yeah.
Matt did it the right way. He was smart. He monetized things by using his mind. I monetized my life by just saying fuck it. I'm willing to do whatever it takes to put a smile on somebody's face. I'm not saying that Matt hasn't done that, because I love Matt genuinely a lot. He is way smarter than I am, and he knows business and he knows pleasure. He can separate the two. I wasn't able to, and in the end I crashed and burned really hard because I went so hard in the paint for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, man, I'm telling you, Ross, 3 years straight I was in a vehicle traveling somewhere, having fun, drinking. I was spending money. I was with women. and I didn't think about business. And whatever it took to put a smile on somebody's face, I would do it, i.e., just an example. Not only did I want to make you laugh, but I was traveling and spending my own money. We had a veteran that was really sick. He had written me, and he said, "Hey, man, I can't even mow my yard right now." I said, "I'm coming to you. Where are you at?" He said, "I live in Illinois." I drove from Dallas, Texas to Illinois. The next day, I was mowing his yard for him. And I just did it to do it.
No shit.
I didn't put that out on the internet. I didn't do anything. And then what I started to do was just take little photos with those guys. And then I was sleeping on people's couches. So what had happened was there were vets or just people reaching out to me saying, "I'm going through a tough time, man. I need help with this." And I'd say, "All right, I'm on my way." So I would raise a little bit of money, and then I would go. And I would raise money by getting, you know, telling a company like, "Hey, let's work together so I can get a little bit of money." I wasn't feeding myself. I had lost my marriage. I was sleeping in my car sometimes. It didn't matter. I was sleeping on those couches, and I'd get to those homes. I would give that person my money, and then I would put food in their mouths. I would fill up their fridge, or I'd mow their yard for them. And in the end, it became like fulfilling to me. And I'll break it down why, because a lot of people would think that that's fucking crazy that I would do that, mm-hmm. is spend your own money and go broke. I did. Remember one month I made upwards of $30,000. Mm-hmm. Within a week and a half, that 30 grand was gone because I was either partying or I was giving my money away. And the reason why I started to do all those things was because my whole story had started from like my childhood. I don't think it's a secret today that I struggled on social media, and I let everybody know why I struggled. And that wasn't because I'd spent so much time overseas in Iraq and I had dealt with things over there, but it was because I was abused heavily as a child. And so as I started to grow, I felt like I wasn't whole. I felt like something had been taken from me. And for me to be able to give things to people and put a smile on their face, it literally like felt like it was filling those holes and those voids that I'd had missing from my childhood. So that's what social media was to me. It was like the greatest outlet ever to grow and feel good about myself, but also to teach people that you can dig yourself out of whatever depression it is, and you can put a smile on your face and you can keep going. Which leads me into, you know, your question, why did I quit?
Yeah. Because I hate to interrupt you here, but I think this is important. Back in the last time you did the show and when we met, there were so many crazy people coming in and out of Black Rifle in the Salt Lake City office, yeah, right? And when I say crazy, I meant great. There was just a lot of weird talent in all of these people. You always struck me because you were so genuine. Everything you did was real. And all your conversations that you had with other people were just real heart-to-heart, genuine conversations where some people would come through there looking to do the wrong shit in life. And like, I'm not going to say who they were. Where, you know, they were looking to monetize something for whatever it was, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Clearly not Matt, Evan, or Jared, or Rocco, those guys, obviously.
No, they're all
great
people.
But others, and I think you know who they are. And they ended up crashing and burning on social media shortly there afterwards.
Yep.
You were different in the fact that I felt like you just did it on your own and left versus like, "Hey man, I'm good and this is it and I'm leaving." And no lie, I haven't seen or heard from you since I think 2016. Was it 2 years?
Yeah, it's almost 2 years now.
Yeah.
But you know why I left doing things with Black Rifle Coffee?
Mm-mm.
Because I was struggling. I'll try to say this without being emotional. I mean, it's drinking, bros. You can't get emotional on this show.
You actually can. You can. We've done a lot of shows.
I remember calling Jared one day. He and Evan, they got on speakerphone with me. And I told him, I was like, I'm not doing good. My wife had left me. She had gotten poor custody of my kid. I said, I don't have a job. Everybody thinks that I'm super rich. I'm giving all my money away. I need medical. I need dental. I'm not in the Marines anymore. I'm depressed. JT and Evan got on the phone and they said, "Hey, you have a family with Black Rifle Coffee. Right now, if we talk to Matt and we all collectively get together, you have a job. How much money do you need a month to survive or get yourself out of a hole?" I gave them my number. Within 2 days, I was in Salt Lake City from Fort Worth. I had a full-time job with full-time medical, full-time dental. My son, I was able to pay my child support. I was able to do all these things. So for Evan, Matt, and Jared, and Logan, and everybody to accept me the way that they did and all the crazy things that I was doing and still give me a chance, as I started to crash and burn on social media because I was just like not in a good spot, I thought it was the right thing to do as a gentleman to step out of Black Rifle Coffee and not put a black eye on them because they don't deserve that. They didn't deserve somebody to step into that company and like hammer home two black eyes to them when they had nothing to do with the things that I was going through. Evan, Matt, and Jared, and Logan, and that crew were all doing it right. They had it right. I had it completely wrong because I was just lost and I needed help and I had failed to get the help that I needed. And so one day, man, I don't accept criticism well sometimes. I don't. Because I just want to make people laugh and smile and I want to help. And I always go above and beyond to do what I can to make somebody happy, right? And one day I read something on the internet that, you know, I'd gotten this dog from this company called Canine Gunner Tactical. Brady took really good care of me. I never have anything negative to say about that guy. He gave me a dog. It was a service dog. It was like to help me in my moments where I was like, you know, at my lowest. And the dog was just a little too much for me at the time because I was still traveling and flying everywhere and things were going on.
Yeah, people don't realize how big a commitment that shit is.
No, especially a fully trained Belgian Malinois. Oh, yeah. Okay? Yeah.
The dog was balls to the wall. They need to be working all the time.
I fell in love with that dog.
It's like taking care of another human.
Yeah, I fell in love with that dog, man. But the problem was is I couldn't go certain places when I was like feeling like crap and I needed to just travel because I'm a little gypsy at heart. So I had to give the dog back. Well, I cracked a joke one time on the internet about some drugs or whatever and somebody had recorded it, screen recorded it. You know how they can mix it up on the internet put words in your mouth?
Yeah, yeah.
And it had said like, yeah, I snort cocaine off of a stripper's ass or something like that, which wasn't what I said. Well, then somebody had put all that on the internet that I'd sold my dog for cocaine. I was a drug addict and everything else and blah, blah, blah. And man, it just lit like wildfire. And it hurt me deep down inside because I'm like, I don't do those things. Mind you, those people are saying all these things. I'm a cop now, okay? We'll get into that in a little bit.
Yeah.
But I'm a cop. There's no way I could be a police officer if those are the things that I've been doing, right?
Sure.
For sure. So,
I'm pretty sure they do background checks or something.
It's pretty extensive, man, to be honest.
I mean, you'd think so.
It'll make your butt pucker up. You're like, whoa, did I do, you know? But I got off because there's actually a couple reasons. I stopped working with Black Rifle Coffee because they deserved better. They deserved better than what I was giving them and what I was putting out. And I'm pretty sure that they're probably going to see this. And I haven't talked to Matt and Evan in quite some time. And I talk to Jared all the time. He comes up
and
visits.
Matt who just texted me like 10 seconds ago.
I feel like I owe them an apology for not giving them 100% of my heart instead of struggling so much. And I know that they would tell me like, hey, you don't have to apologize to us because we all struggle. But that's who they are, man. They're some of the most gracious people I've ever met. That's why I still support the company. I still stay in touch and I still do the things that I do for Black Rifle.
Yeah.
But I left Black Rifle because they deserve better out of me. I wasn't able to give it at the time and I didn't want to hurt the company or the brand and they needed to grow, you know? So
yeah.
I bounced out and then right at the end of my social media stint, I was in a pretty bad place. I went up to visit in Tennessee, Brantley Gilbert and some of my other buddies up there, the country singer.
Mm-hmm.
His manager, Aaron, is a pretty good friend of mine and my buddy Josh Phillips. And I went out, I was out at Tyler Farr's ranch. I don't know if you.
Yeah. Know. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was out at Tyler Farr's ranch and we're out there and you know, there's a few other people. I'll just leave them unnamed. And I'd met this girl on Instagram. Mind you, I'd met a lot of women on Instagram. Okay. Like it's a honey hole. But
honey hole, I've never heard that before.
Dude, I like that. I like honey hole.
It's a honey hole. So is Snapchat, okay? Because that honey hole can come and that disappears real quick and, you know, whatever. But I met this girl on Instagram.
Is it her?
It's her, actually.
Oh, okay, great. Thank God.
I mean, honey,
you can't see this, but there's a girl off camera. Yeah. And if it wasn't her, it'd be super awkward to her.
Can she just, like, walk up real quick so everybody can see?
Come on in.
Come here, Sam. Come here.
Come on in.
Yeah, I don't know.
Walk behind Dan and Tank. Yeah. And we'll put the camera on that.
Honey hole, yeah. Sugar walls.
There you go. So I just want everybody to see my honey hole now. Like, where you at, man?
There she is.
I don't,
there it is. Yeah, so you can see yourself on that monitor right there.
So we've been together almost 2 years. Anyway, you can go back. Okay. I just want, yeah.
You just wanted to show your...
I did, man. Yeah, I did.
Your hot piece up.
So I met this girl on Instagram. And the crazy thing is we had been friends for a little bit. And I wrote her one day. I guess she just liked my stuff. Well, there was a lot of women that, you know, would write me and, you know, I mean, you guys get it. They write you, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then you write them back and then you meet up, whatever the case may be. But I wrote her one day and she said, celebrating my mom's 4-year anniversary or whatever it was for her mom had a brain tumor. And she survived. Well, I just wrote, I see where you get your looks from. Congratulations to your mom. She writes back, thank you. And it was something simple. I wrote her and I said, hey, I'm the guest of honor this year for one of the Marine Corps balls. Would you like to be my date?
Mm-hmm.
She writes back like, sure, it's a year away, whatever. Like, that's not going to happen. So we just ended up writing back and forth. What I loved about it was there was no sexual talk. It was just pure honesty and it was pure emotion. And I'll meet up with you in the future when we get a chance. Well, I'd invited her to come to Tennessee. And she turned me down. She told me no. And I think it was because the people that I was hanging out with. When a lot of people, Ross, and I know that you would agree with this, if you have celebrity friends, people are going to be like, oh, yeah, I'm in. I'm on my way, right?
Right.
And mind you, I'm not really close with the guys that I was visiting up there. You know, Josh and I talk all the time, Aaron and I, but Brantley and Tyler, they do their own things. I've only hung out with Tyler, not much. So I'm not claiming that I'm, super close to them. But so Sam's like, no, I'm good. I said, well, okay, let's meet in Atlanta then. Is that cool? She flies from where she's at, meets me in Atlanta, walks up the escalator, and I look at her. I'm like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah.
Dude, just Goldilocks, man. She walks up, smooches me immediately. We spend, and this is crazy. We spend a week on the road together, just road tripping. Together 24/7. We hit it off. That was almost 2 years ago, and we've been together ever since.
So did you just come on the show today to talk, to fucking get brownie points to talk good about your... Because we're not about that, dude.
No. But I'm leading up. I'm leading up to the question about the social media stuff so we can move on. But after that week, I was just sitting there, and I'm thinking, dude, I don't want to be on social media anymore. And I think that as soon as I put her on my social media, my inbox blew up even more with women. It was like they were just...
When it rains, it pours. It's an old shit,
man.
That's real?
Yes, it's real. Funny. And it's showed her that. So I shared that with her. And I just made a decision that day because I was in a dark place. I said, you know what? Something good has walked into my life. I have literally pushed everybody out of my life right now so I could work on me. And now I've got you. So let's make this work. One day I deleted Instagram, Snapchat, all my Facebooks. And I disappeared.
For her or for you?
For me. But she was an additive to it because she was kind of like that point that something good has walked into your life. Don't let it go.
Mm-hmm.
So focus on you. Get yourself well.
Learn how to take learn how to take yes for an answer from life.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a struggle sometimes. But when good shit walks into your life, you got to drop everything else and fucking go.
100%. And I knew that it was like a godsend. So I deleted everything. I even deleted my cell phone number. So I changed my phone number. So I'm sitting here, which that'll be a good point. I can't wait to tell you a part of that story about changing the number. The guy that actually got my phone number.
Oh,
I've been in touch with him, man. You're going to fucking really love funny. What I have to tell you. But I went up to Salt Lake, and I lived in the back of my car for almost 6 months.
While you guys are dating?
Well, this is right prior to she and I dating.
Okay.
Right as I was trying to get off of social media and everything else. She was living down in Florida. I was trying to do my own thing. I was going through counseling at the VA 5 times a week. I'd enroll myself full time. And I started living in my car. And then I had had a job with this company called Rockwell Watches, mm-hmm. just out on the side. Just
they're good dudes, by the way.
Them. Yeah.
Those guys are Rockwell good dudes.
Rich is like the salt of the earth, the owner. He and Johnny, man, they took me under their wing. And Rich looked at me and he's like, hey, I'm going to pay your bills every month. You go get help. And I was like, wow. So I was sleeping in my car at the park near downtown. I was watching people at night. I didn't know what was going on. And I'm like trying to shave, brush my teeth. And then I was staying at some of my friend's house every now and then. And I was struggling. And I accepted that struggle because I put myself there by getting rid of everybody and everything and then not getting the help that I needed. So finally, I'd like gotten myself on track and on the map. And then somehow, some way, man, about a year and a half ago, I was like, I have, like, I'm built for service. And I just applied to a police department, to a sheriff's department, and I got hired, man.
Where at?
I'm going to leave. I'm not going to disclose that because okay. I'm pretty sure that they'll get blown up.
Oh, gotcha, you know, gotcha. But, yeah, that makes sense.
But I went through the academy. I graduated number one in the academy. And, man, here I am. I'm back in law enforcement. I absolutely love what I do. I love serving the community and the people. It's a little bit of a struggle right now, but we have a really tight group. It's a good team. And it's just good for me, man. It's good. It's exactly what I need right now in my life, which is that structure, stability, and something different every day.
Well, everybody can
use. And I got everything together.
If you're focusing all of your effort on yourself in life, you're probably fucked up, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's no way to get outside perspective if you're doing that. What's the purpose of that exactly?
Right.
You know what I mean? I feel like you said, I think all human beings are kind of built to serve. That's why we naturally gravitate towards one another. As a matter of fact, I know this is kind of a weird way to bring this up, but in iRobot, it was a book way back in the day, right? Isaac Asimov, but even he talked about how AI, like this non-thinking technically, it's a robot, right? It does what we tell it to do. Then we told it to learn and learned, but when you put robots in an area together, they will naturally clump together. Mm-hmm. It's weird that they would do that, but human beings are the same way. There's a gravity to sociology. There's something about people not wanting to experience life alone, and once you get around a bunch of other people, then it becomes imperative to start serving those other people. You need to learn your function in society and serve that role. Otherwise, you personally will never feel fulfilled. Ever.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And the other part about that is, you know, when you are alone and especially in a dark place, like you were talking about.
Yeah.
If you don't have someone else like your girlfriend who you were talking about, you're forced to think about your own thoughts over and over again all day long. So you're inside your own head all day long.
I've been and you there, don't yeah. you don't want
to
be.
No one. Yeah. No one wants to be like, there. I don't want to fucking be there if by myself. Nah, like,
if
yeah.
you're inside your own head, you need to be able to bounce those ideas off each other because look, here's how it works if you're thinking alone. You think something and you assume it's either true or not true without any kind of third party validation whatsoever. Then you make your next leap and assume that's true or false. But there's never been any kind of there's no truth test in there at all. So all of these assumptions that you make over time in your internal dialogue are based on bad information, untested information at least. Maybe not bad, but definitely untested. Mm-hmm. That's the wrong way to go. That's like building a house on a fucking pile of quicksand.
Yeah,
it doesn't
definitely
make any
is
sense.
The wrong way to go.
You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah. It leads you into really shitty places yeah. too, especially if you are assuming in your own head that other people are thinking about you and right. talking negatively about you or whatever somebody struggles with. You basically are building a platform of nothing but fucking hell, and you... Yeah. don't know how to walk through it because you burn the entire time. And it's like, ultimately you end up in like the darkest place when that might not have even been the case the entire time. You're just like struggling and just needed somebody to be around to tell you
right.
that everything was okay.
Well, how many times does it happen between you and another person? The two of you are both bad at communicating, or at least at that time period, you're bad at communicating. You both are making wrong assumptions. And then you come back, you finally, there's an argument and you hear things during the argument like, oh, that's not what I thought you thought. Shit.
Yeah.
And then you realize yeah. about three quarters of the way through the argument that both of you have been wrong the whole time. And it's because human beings have a hard time accepting criticism and accepting the fact that they're wrong about something. You just keep fighting. But in reality, you both in that moment should be like, oh, we're both fucking idiots. We could yeah. have just talked about this a long time ago. But you can't do that if you're sitting in a room by yourself all the time.
No.
And that's the reason Jared created Drinker Bros in the first place.
Yeah. And by the way, when you walked in, I full disclosure, I didn't recognize him.
Everybody tells me that, man.
You were so completely different, and not in a bad way, in a great way. Like I looked at you, I was like, Jesus, you look like a young John Cena that yeah. walked in, and I was like, holy fuck.
Wow.
Because of our last interaction and all our interactions in the past, like the crazy, fun, wild,
I was out there, man.
Huge fucking hugs, like, yeah, yeah, oh, fuck everything. And it was yep. like awesome. So when you walked in, I was like, cool, man. I thought maybe you worked for Tank or... You
know, that'd be like, cool. I could use an assistant these days, man. Yeah. But no, it was wild back in the day. You know,
I was drinking every day. I had fun.
I didn't have a care in the world. I did whatever I wanted. And now, man, like there's a funny thing that happens once you actually get help and you learn like this is what I needed in my life. You just calm down. You start to learn like things that trigger you and things that don't. And you start to learn what is like food and what's poison.
Right.
So when I've taken all the negative things out of my life, i.e. social media, which is huge.
Yeah, yeah. Especially after watching The Social Dilemma on Netflix.
Yeah, man. Jeez. It does change you.
It does.
People think that it doesn't, but I challenge anybody who has a big social media account to look deep down inside and go, man, like, did I wake up and take that photo for other people and attention, or did I just take it for myself because I just feel like I look great today?
Well, that's an internal dialogue that a sophisticated mind can have, but I'm more worried about like the adopted child in the family that was part of that social dilemma, right?
Yeah.
Not being able to literally stand the idea of not having her phone in her hand all the time. Like, you haven't gotten there yet because he's still six, right? But when he becomes close, when it comes into the tween years, it's like, dude, as soon as he wakes up, it's in his hand, like
phone. Yeah.
Get off your fucking phone.
Yeah.
Put the fucking PlayStation controller down. Do some real shit. Come out and walk these dogs. It doesn't even matter what it is. Do something mechanical that makes you feel like you're a human goddamn being.
Right.
For a couple of minutes to start off each day. I hate what's the admiral's name that talks about making your bed? I can't remember his fucking name. Is it
McMullen?
McMullen. Yeah. I love that guy.
Yeah. Yep.
And I'm not a big fan of all that fucking hoorah moto bullshit because I just don't need it personally.
Right.
But I see the benefit of it for sure. People need direction, and when their direction is coming from their age group, typically that's not a great thing, because what the fuck does a 12-year-old know? Remember when you were 21, what the fuck did you know at 21?
Yeah, nothing.
You know what I mean? Each new generation has something to teach the last generation, and it becomes problematic when all of your self-identity and your value as a person comes from those around you instead of coming, one, from some kind of standard, and two, like internally, you have to feel good about yourself.
Right.
And it's you have to feel good about yourself without having to look to other people for validation.
Yeah, and it also comes from your parents too. Like what your parents instill from you, either it's the wrong things and then you have to fight the rest of your life to beat them, or it's the great things and then you have to pass those down to your children.
Well, I feel like these days it's even tougher because there's so many distractions now.
Yes.
I mean, back in the day it was like there's three things you can do. You can go outside.
Yep.
You can fucking work inside. Or you can kind of fucking
watch three channels.
Yeah.
Now it's like there's an unending amount of mental stimulus that you can run into at any given time. You can completely, lose yourself.
Oh yeah. And you have to find things for kids to, like, my kid is six, right? So he's starting to get into iPads and all that stuff. First of all, it was forced on him because of
school.
Because of school.
Yeah.
Like he never had one. And then it was mandatory. All of a sudden, they were like, you've got to get an iPad. We'll drop one off at the house for you. Great. I knew exactly what was going to happen once COVID hit and they did that, right? Because he'd never used one before. And now he's got it, and he's got access to video games and all this other shit. And I'm like, fuck. So when we got here, as busy as we are and as how, you know, crazy the company has grown and blown up and the media company and all that stuff, the very first thing I did was get him into jiu-jitsu twice a week.
Oh, yeah, good.
And then soccer twice a week. So, like, soccer was the only sport that they were playing here because of COVID, or I'm not really sure why, whatever, right? But I coach it because he's like, Dad, can you coach it? I'm not going to say no, but my schedule is crazy busy. And it's like, dude, I coach. We have practices on Thursdays, games on Fridays. And, like, even some of the parents are like, I know you. Like, how the fuck do you have time for this? And I was like, I don't really, but I know how important it is. Otherwise, these kids are going to be stuck on social media and glued to their shit.
Yeah, 100%.
Like you were saying. And then, if you get stuck on it from an early age, because you were later on in life, right?
Yeah, later on, and I was hooked, man. It had overtaken my life completely, and I would look at my phone at the analytics of it. Say I was on my phone like 18 hours a day, and it was thousands and thousands of messages, you know, and I was trying to answer people, and I was doing all these things. I'm like, it takes up too much of your time.
It's difficult being somebody who is a giver and being on social media.
Yeah.
Wow. It becomes a real problem at some point. You know what I mean?
Because everybody will take everything away from you. All of your energy.
And
they don't mean to, by the way. No, not at all.
Just to talk about Drinking Bros fans.
Yeah.
If I answered every single thing that got sent to me, I would never sleep.
No, you would.
Yes. And I still wouldn't catch up.
No. I try to do like five or six a day.
Yeah, but they're so nice and gracious. Anytime we do live events, like, we've done hundreds of live events at this point, and we've never had, like, amongst this group of probably at least semi-alcoholic alpha dudes,
yeah,
we've never had a single like issue. Physical issue not at one. Any event. Yeah. That's incredible to me.
Yeah, that's incredible.
You know what I mean?
We've done hundreds of these. We haven't had one.
We did one in Vegas. Remember the one in Vegas with Randy Couture? And I was on the stage hammered, and I'm giving a
speech. Oh, that's right. That was the last time we saw you, actually.
Yeah.
At SHOT Show in 2018.
And that was like 2,000 people. We were at the MGM.
Yeah. Dude, it was Oh, it was the MGM?
Yeah, it was MGM.
Yeah, okay. I was thinking Bellagio for some reason, but yeah, MGM.
Yeah.
That was an incredible night.
It was awesome.
I don't remember anything after that.
Oh, no.
Dude, I was gone.
Street Bike Tommy blacked out in the fucking DJ. He was supposed to be the DJ that night. He just blacked out in the booth, and he woke up at like 3 a.m. and started calling people like, hey, where is everybody? Like, dude, we left.
We left.
We didn't even know you were still there. You were asleep.
He fell asleep face down on top of a slot machine.
And that's after he drank two beers out of Crispy's leg.
Yeah,
it's his prosthetic.
Yeah,
prosthetic.
I remember that. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I remember
that was a rough night, man.
That was a really good time, man.
It was definitely fun.
Yeah,
but everybody loves you, and that's why we're super amped to have you back on the show.
It's
it was
nice
like,
to be back, man.
It was like, hey, man, come back in. I want to hear about your life. I want to know what happened, and I think it was important for everybody else, too, because sometimes you just think in life, you're like, oh, they must have had a bad relationship or something went sour. No, it was the opposite. Like, you just checked out.
I checked out.
Hey, man, I got to take care of myself.
But I will defend, you know, I'm a very honest person.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody loves me. There are people that actually hate me and despise me and don't like me because I might have fucked them over or whatever the case may be. And I'm going to defend those people who actually hate me right now and tell them, like, there are people that deserve to be mad at me and hate me because there are times when I was in a dark place, I didn't treat them right or something had happened. I would challenge you to not look at the past of who I was then and actually accept who I am now and know that I'm sorry if I had done that to you.
But you can't expect that.
I will tell you this though, Dan. There are times in lives where people, they want, and they're not willing to give. I wanted, and I gave. And there are some people that I wanted from that I didn't get time to give back to because I was in a shitty place. I was in a dark place. I was a drunk, and I was having issues. And I feel like, right, since I have this platform in this moment, that it's okay for me to tell them, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Because not everybody loves me, man. Not everybody loves you. And you know, the other day, there was a photo of me posted on social media. It's been actually a couple times now.
Yeah, by the way, real quick, do you still have accounts? Are you able to check this shit?
So there is an account, a page called Warrior, WARRIOR.
Okay.
Warrior Flask is a company that I was working with, and that's the page.
By the way, Warrior Flask, they sell, obviously, drinkware and various things like that.
Yeah.
And for everyone it's like Tom's. For everyone you buy, a veteran gets one, basically.
It's awesome.
That's every Warrior Flask. Yeah.
It's been like that since the beginning of their business.
Yeah, man. Great. And I know, so I know the owners really well. Everything that they do is accounted for, and that's what I love about them. And that's what I love about who we're going to talk about here in a little bit. But, so Warrior Flask, they took over that page. They posted a photo of me the other day, and it had like 20,000 likes in a day. It had, I think, 1,000 comments, at least a couple thousand DMs. There wasn't one negative thing. It was all nothing but positive. Tank, we miss you. Tank, we want you back. Tank this, tank that. You know, we need your energy. We need your drive. You saved my life. Like, I saw that on there. And I thought it was incredible reading all that. And it lit a fire in me, man. It lit a fire. Like, I do have a purpose in this life, whether that's to serve the community as a police officer or in a few years, if I decide to call it quits and just travel with my wife one day, and just, you know, attack the world.
Wife her up, dude.
Yeah. Ross, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Wife her up, dude. It's over.
So
you're all done.
Do you want to propose live on the show today?
Yeah.
No, I don't. I have other plans, man. She just doesn't know about it.
He's going to do it. He's going to do it at Disney World when the shark. No, that's.
Yeah.
When the alligator comes out and grabs the kid, he's going to propose at Disney World.
Well, it was nice seeing all the comments and everything. Everybody asked me, are you doing a comeback? I don't really foresee myself ever really coming back to social media. I might dabble a little bit. But I think right now where I'm at in my life, it's such a blessing to go home at night and sleep. and have peace, man, and not have to feel like I have to answer to everybody.
Not have a blue screen in front of your face.
Exactly,
in
man.
In the bed, yeah.
Exactly. You know, the extent of what I do at night is watch YouTube videos, and I go to sleep, you know? And
well, there is some compulsion that I feel for sure because our fans are so great. I mean, if our fans were a bunch of cunts, it'd be one thing, right?
Yeah.
But no, the Drinking Bro fans are
like,
badass,
they're the
man.
Best, yeah. Literally the best collection of this large of people. Like, the private group has, what, 110,000, and now we're due, like, 400,000 or 500,000
yeah.
per episode just in audio, not including all the other channels that we have.
Yeah.
It's a massive group of people, and literally, we don't have any problems ever.
Ever.
It's statistically impossible that this would go this way.
Yeah.
And it's gone this way. So it tells me that the community's great, which in my mind is like, fuck, I have to talk to every single one of these motherfuckers every single day, which is obviously not possible, right?
Yeah.
But every night before I go to bed, that's what goes through my head. Did I talk to enough people?
Same.
Yeah. Because the DMs I get back in the day used to be like, oh, this thing you said was super funny. This thing you said was super fucked up, whatever, yeah. about killing people and all this stupid bullshit. Now it's like, hey, you really opened my eyes about this political subject that I was really entrenched on before, mm-hmm. and maybe that makes the world a little bit better incrementally. That weighs on you. It really does. Like, if you feel like it's easy just to not easy necessarily, but it's easy just to be an entertainer, but once you start affecting people's day-to-day lives, then it feels like a responsibility.
Yeah,
and that,
it does.
There's a
yeah.
huge weight
you
that
hit
comes
it on
with
the
that
head, man.
And I'm not gonna complain about the fact that I sit here and talk about buttholes for 3 hours a day and get paid for it, but it is I just want people to know I don't always see everything, but I definitely think about it, and I will respond when I can.
Yeah.
Because I don't want you to think we're ignoring it, because you guys are so fucking great.
No, and again, we try to, man. So if you're out there, and again, drinkingbros.com is a great place. If you want to nominate Drinking Bro of the Week, you can always send those in as well, and we'll be happy to share your story. Because sometimes they share it through social media, mm-hmm. and it's like, hey, man, we'll just talk about it live on air if you want. I want to get into your new career. With yeah. your police, obviously you've been on the show numerous times. We've got sponsors who pay for the shit
yeah,
wagon
for sure.
to be on the air. Mm-hmm. So now's the time for those guys. GhostBed.com/drinkingbros. 30% off of bundle packages right now for all of October. That is the October surprise from GhostBed.com/drinkingbros. You can get mattresses, sheets, pillows, adjustable bases, you name it. They got it at GhostBed.com/drinkingbros. You can bundle it all together for 30% off. If you're a member of the military, a first responder, a teacher, or work in the government, you always get 30% off every single day. And as always, they got a 36-month pay-as-you-go program. No interest at GhostBed.com/drinkingbros. So you can use all of those deals, put them in a nice, tidy little package at the end, and then get no interest on them. 36 months, knocks yeah. down to like $30 a month,
and if you
which
don't,
is nice.
If you don't need the full bed, you already got a bed. Maybe you already got a ghost bed.
Yeah.
You got to have more pillows. You got to have the mattress protector. You got to have the sheets. I mean, the deals are good over there.
Great.
They're
yeah,
very good.
Best in the business.
I need this.
You should.
It sounds like I need this.
You should get that
ghost,
mattress.
It's
it'll
the best
change
bed
your life.
Of all time. And yeah. I've got the adjustable base, so you guys did it last week. I don't think you and Jesse have ever done it before, but you press the TV button on the remote, and yeah. it basically turns your bed into a couch. I'm not even kidding.
Dead serious.
Like
yeah.
it literally turns your bed into a couch. You're sitting up upright in your bed, and you're like, what the fuck's happening here? It takes you a minute
no
to get
kidding.
Used to it.
Yeah, yeah.
But then you're like, oh shit.
I'm in my couch in a yeah. bed, and then you press it at the yeah. end of the night, and
so
it goes all the way down.
If you've got
a lady like that, she's going to need
yeah.
something
well,
like
well,
that.
We're talking about getting a house soon, so we want to get something king size. And
First responders sure. get 30% off
wow.
everything in the entire
forever.
Store.
So
forever.
And that, all, that also, that 30% off for any of these deals, it's first responders, military veterans, mm-hmm. Government employees, and teachers, right?
That's awesome.
You can not only
what about
you,
nursing?
I don't know if they do nursing yet, but we should probably ask them about that because they love giving deals to people that fucking do these
for
jobs. For nurses?
Oh, yeah.
Anyways, it's the 30% off deal also works with their interest-free 36-month pay-as-you-go thing.
No kidding.
So yes. most companies are like, well, you can do one or the other. They do both.
Wow.
So it's like $30 yeah. if you want to get all this
shit. It's
pretty
shit. Dope.
It's rad.
It's pretty dope.
Who do we got up next, Anthony?
Well, speaking of people that like veterans, it's Duke Cannon.
DukeCannon.com.
They got this.
I actually just bought some of their soap.
We all have it
yeah,
everywhere.
It's
dude.
Incredible.
So here's what
yeah.
happened with Duke Cannon.
It's naval supremacy for me and my family,
I'm an Old Glory guy for yeah. me, but everybody's got their favorite over there. That is one of these companies, Tank, where the audience actually asked for it. Mm-hmm. So we hit them up, and we were like, we thought they were too big because they're in like Target and shit. And I was like, hey, man, will you come and do the show? And everybody wants a promo code. And I get it. We're all ordering shit to our house. So it's like, all right, cool. And they hit us back and they were like, yeah, shit, we love the show. We donate a bunch of money to veteran charities at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. It was like, awesome. So at DukeCannon.com today.
I'm a big fan of this new shit, by the way.
I know.
So it's Oktoberfest. This is their marketing plan that's going on right now. So they've got two of these packages. One, it's all beer stuff. Mm-hmm. One is the beer and bourbon box, and it's got a booze scented with cedarwood, sandalwood, citrus, oak beer. They got a bunch of different shit. You can go on and look at it. And then if you are severely anti-foreigner, like some of us are, you can get the Bud Box.
Not the band.
No.
We love the band Foreigner.
Foreigner is a great band, yeah. You can get the Bud Box, which is Great American Beard Necessities, including Beard Balm. And it's made literally, so the beer and bourbon box, it's big-ass beer soap, and it's made with old Milwaukee beer.
Mm-hmm.
That's very
a little beast on you.
That is very American.
Throw a little beast on you.
What's
their new promo code?
It's Drinkin' Bros 10. Also, they hold on. Let me look at my
10% email. 10% off.
It is 10% off. Yeah, and they also
Drinkin' Bros 10 at DukeCannon.com is
they
that
also
promo code.
Lowered
Drinkin' Bros 10.
They lowered the threshold for free shipping, so it's $20 now.
Oh, great!
Like so, if you buy two products, basically you get free shipping.
Two bottles of soap, you're good to go.
By the way, nobody in any industry ever has free shipping at $20.
Ever. Go to DukeCannon.com. No. Drinkin' Bros 10 is the new promo code there. Take advantage of it. And Christmas is right around the bend. Those soaps are great stocking stuffers for dudes, ladies. So don't forget that. Last but not least, who's up, D'Anthony?
That's it for today. But let's see. Xander actually texted me last night. It was like, hey, what VPN do you use? And I'm like,
We use expressvpn.com/drinkin'bros.
Yeah.
Everybody's got a VPN these days. Everybody's trying to hack in your shit, steal your life, find your wife, steal your life. That's off the cuff, but you can take it, ExpressVPN. At their sites, they'll teach you how to hack into other Netflixes and Hulus and all that shit from around the world. Because let's face it, you've reached the end of your content right now. And expressvpn.com/drinkin'bros will get you into all of that shit. It'll also protect all your accounts. It's a seamless app that runs in the background of your phones.
And you can beat the workplace firewalls and watch porn at work.
Yeah, dude. It's the best.
Which is really important.
Everybody needs to sneak away at lunch after eating a 6-inch from Subway and get a little quick jerk session. Go to expressvpn.com/drinkin'bros today. $7 a month. If you sign up for a year, you get 3 for free.
I think it's
one of those things that are just mandatory in this life.
Yeah.
Tank, you are now a police officer in a time where America seems to hate the fucking police.
Yeah.
How is that for you?
Oh, is it America or is it just the media?
The media.
It like 12 Americans and then the media?
Yeah, exactly.
Even if you look at, like,
it's
I know
a great question.
I know a
is
lot
it
of
the media.
It's here and there. Like I run into dumb people. Young people are pretty fucking stupid, generally speaking, right? But just because they haven't been around long. And like what I talked about yesterday on the show about this this woman in my barbershop asked me. Here's what she said. She's like, "Aren't like 50% of all police officers domestic abusers?" I'm like, "Have you heard of the Lautenberg Amendment?"
Yeah.
Because it prevents that from being a thing. But anyways, people are pretty dumb, but I feel like it's well overblown, right?
It is. And what's it like for you personally out there in the streets today versus before all of this shit happened?
Oh, by the way, nurses do get the first responder benefit.
Great. Awesome. I told you that.
Yeah. She's a nurse, so, you know, I got to look out
for
her.
Well, you can use her
for two different
accounts
then and fucking buy all this shit.
Yeah, don't let them fucking hold you down.
Well, I'm serious. I think we're going to take advantage of that. Like, I'm glad.
Do it. Yeah, I would. It's the best. Yeah. We all have it. For real.
Well, to get to your question, I believe you said, how is it for me right now?
Yeah, because of all the shit that's happened. Mm-hmm. And then earlier, because on Ross Patterson Revolution this morning, there was breaking news that Derek Chauvin made bond on that $1 million.
Yeah.
Which is like, shocking.
Who
but,
paid for that? Who put up $100,000 for him? Could have been his house. If he has $100,000 equity in your house, you could do that.
Yeah, but after this long, it had to have been somebody else, or otherwise he would have done it earlier.
You would think so, right?
But all four officers are now out. That was obviously the kickoff of all of this shit, was the George Floyd stuff.
Yeah.
What was it like before the George Floyd incident and now after?
Well, I was doing a lot of training prior to that. More or less, I wasn't paying too much attention to that. I was paying more attention to just learning the basic things that I needed to do every day to operate. I think now that things have happened, things are great for me. I I think that the media blows things up a little bit. Mm-hmm. There is so much support out there. It's unbelievable. You know, every now and then you run into stuff. People want to film all the time now.
Right.
But I think if you treat people with respect as human beings and you put yourself on the opposite end of the spectrum as well before you make a traffic stop or you have an interaction with somebody and you just take a deep breath and allow yourself to understand the situation from both sides.
Yeah, I got to be honest, just to that point, if I was a cop and I'm behind a woman, my lights are on, and I happen to look into the car and I see like a woman in her 30s and there's like two or three kids in the car, I'm like, no, fuck this.
There's
no way I'm pulling this woman over. Her day sucks already. I'm not going to make it suck more because she was going 8 miles an hour over the speed limit.
Well, here's the deal, man.
Like, you have to be able to make those fucking you have to be an empathetic person to do that job.
You do. And, you know, I try to put myself in their shoes and I put myself in my shoes, obviously. Right. But, you know, you have officer discretion, everything that you do every day. And you have to make the right choices at the right time. I think where things lack sometimes in the world or in the police force, and I'm trying to tread lightly here, is training. You know, we need training. I think what helps me every day is life experience, my life experience, my training as a Marine, all the things that I've been through in my life collectively come together so I can put myself in somebody's shoes that's struggling and just needs to put a smile on their face. You know, I've pulled over many folks that have kids in the car.
Right.
And you have officer discretion. What I try to do is tell them, hey, man, you know, 15, 20 miles an hour is probably a little bit too fast, especially if you have children in the car because you don't want them to get injured. You don't want to injure anybody else. So just slow down for me. No problem. Okay, yeah. All right, thank you so much.
And by the way, just from a marketing perspective, so when I was the VP of marketing at Black Rifle, one of the things that we learned just from the industry at large but also from our own personal experience is that even if somebody has an issue with the product, a positive interaction with customer service will make them 7 times more likely to purchase again. That's a statistical fact in marketing. Yeah. So imagine how big a deal it is when this figure that maybe you like, maybe you don't like, maybe you think is authoritarian, maybe you think is a protector, maybe you have this situation where you have to interact with them and the interaction goes positive, even in your favor, and maybe it shouldn't have gone in your favor. Imagine what that does for you and your beliefs towards police officers in general and towards that whole community, right? Like it's a big deal. It's not just enough to, and this is why this whole defund the police thing is stupid, but some of the stuff they say makes sense, like more community policing. Absolutely. Fucking, I don't know any cops that are arguing against that. Cops want to fucking work a beat and know every single human being that is in that beat. You know why? Because they know who they can talk to, who they can't. They know who the problem people are. And also, if you know who the problem people are, you can interdict that shit, particularly if they're younger people, right? So that's what the guy that we had on, the suicide cop, right? Mm-hmm. The fucking guy, what's Kevin something? What's his name? I can't remember his last name off the top of my head. Fuck. We had him on just last week, right? So he's the guy, he was a San Francisco, or he was a CHIPS guy in California, worked the San Francisco Bridge, the Golden Gate Bridge, and he stopped somewhere between 200 and 400 people from committing suicide over the course of 10 years. Incredible guy. But the thing that nobody really publicizes is the fact that after he stopped these people, he would tell them, like, hey, if you feel like this again, here's my personal phone number. If you want
Briggs was his last
Briggs,
name.
Kevin Briggs, yeah. If you want to go get coffee tomorrow and talk about all this, we'll do that. That simple gesture, which is above and beyond for sure, but that simple gesture can, one, save somebody's life, but also these things, these beliefs about police are systemic and they're generational. So people hate cops and they have never had an interaction with the cops.
Right.
Right? Because their parents had bad interactions.
Or they've had a bad interaction themselves and they have generalized all the other interactions into that one.
Right. So those little acts, it's not just enough to, this defund the police thing is just punitive. It's nonsense, right? It's obviously not going to work. More training is what's necessary, and more community policing is also necessary. That's more, not less.
Well, let me ask you this. In your particular department, and again, we won't say where it is that even on the table in your community? Because it is here in Austin.
What exactly?
Defunding the police.
No.
Okay.
I hear about it sometimes, but here's the deal. Where I work, all the way from the sheriff, all the way down, everybody is held accountable for their actions. So as soon as we come into work, you do something dumb, you've got somebody on your butt right away. Mm-hmm. Like, hey man, what are you doing here? Like, we need to train on that. We need to figure this out. And that's even some of the chain of command holding the sheriff accountability too. So it goes all the way from the top to the bottom. So I don't hear too much about defund the police where I'm at.
Great.
I hear a lot about pro police. I've heard some negative stuff, but I think it's because we really take pride in holding ourselves accountable there. And that's a beautiful thing. I'm still somewhat new at this. I've got a lot of learning and a lot of things to grow on. Is it all peaches and candy? Absolutely not. There's some people that just need to get, you know, that need to get taken to jail for sure.
Yeah.
But in the end, I've had some great interactions with all sides of the community and a lot of support.
Mm.
And it's 98% support and 2% negativity. And if I'm just going to throw a number out there, you know, not too long ago, I'm driving down the highway and I take pride in the uniform that I wear. And I somebody's driving by me and I waved at her. Right. And I went like that. Like, hey, how you doing? She literally does this right back at me. College chick, man. And I just looked at her and I'm like, okay. And I just mumbled, God bless you too. You know, like, all right. And I just kept going. And then sometimes you get people that just stop and they're like, hey, can I just buy you lunch? So I think that the world is in turmoil right now. I think that there needs to be some changes, but I think it all comes from within. As a police officer, you have to make the right decision in the craziest moment and in the easiest of moment. You have to always be on your toes and you got to always be thinking about what you got to do next. And sometimes it's a tough decision, especially when you've had some really crappy calls and then you get something basic. The dynamic is so intense from call to call that it's like you have to keep your attitude in check, man, from one call to another. But
yeah, I can't imagine doing that. I can't imagine spending all night kicking down doors and then immediately transitioning into doing a fucking meet and greet. You know what I mean?
That's pretty much how it is.
It's for police officers, yeah. Because, yeah. I mean, you get tuned up. My adrenaline's at full, you know, whatever, full capacity. I'm going. Everything looks like a threat. I look at it and process it, is or isn't. If it is, I'm fucking after you, right? And sometimes you see a threat in some of these meetings, but you don't do anything about it because it's not a real one yet.
Right.
Right? You have to wait until that thing materializes. If we're sitting in meetings with community leaders choking people out because they were getting fucking smart ass with us just because we just got up a bunch of operations, that's not going to work.
Right.
If these guys go from like a domestic violence kind of situation to somebody, you know, just needing help somewhere, which is not the same thing. It's very different. I don't know how you do it. And that's why I say all the time on the show, these skill sets between, particularly from shooters, infantry people, mm-hmm. and cops, that is not the same thing. So the idea that we're going to send in, it's one of the criticisms I've had for Trump. Some of these things make sense to send in National Guard and troops and things like that to curtail if it's a civil unrest thing. But for the most part, expecting soldiers or Marines or whomever it is to be able to do police action, that is unreasonable. It's a completely different skill set, and it's something you
completely
and other
different people
need to relearn. Yeah, you have to,
I can't be a Marine with a police uniform on.
You have to unlearn everything you knew and relearn all this new shit. It's not the same thing.
Yeah, I'm studying psychology, right? I'm in my last year of psychology. And
as a degree?
As a degree, yeah. And
I think that's something that every police officer should have. There's no college you can go to learn how to be a cop, but you can go learn how to be a better human and understand people better.
You can,
right?
Yes. And that's why I just brought up that point was I cannot be a Marine. The drive, it keeps me going every day as a Marine. I'm like a Malinois dog, man. I see the ball and I'm there. But you literally have to cancel out all of that type of training unless you're on the SWAT team and you're running in to get, you know, a terrorist or something. You have to get rid of all that and you have to be this gentle and then flip the switch when you need to.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in some crazy situations. And then again, there's situations that I've never experienced. I have a lot to learn. I have a lot to grow on, but, I think that I take more pride in being a police officer than I did a Marine, because of the dynamics of the interactions of people. You know, you're with your team every day as a Marine, and then you go overseas and you're fighting one type of enemy. Well, here it's like nobody can be your enemy. You have to try to build with the community and learn and grow and show them that you're there for the right reasons instead of the wrong. Because in all honesty, you don't have the power. The people have the power. You do something stupid and you're fired. They do something stupid, they go to jail, and then they go home after that. You know, it's like you're fired and then your name is tainted forever. Then your bosses get fired and then everything else, you know, just crumbles from there. I don't ever want that. So I want to study. I want to learn and I want to grow. And I'm just going to continue to keep my mouth shut. I'm going to continue to learn. And I'm going to continue to train. And hopefully I'm good for the people, man.
Well, I want to back up to something you said earlier about you think you need that cops need more training. Because we hear that a lot in the media. As a cop, What exactly does that mean of more training? Because honestly, I think he, it's everybody says it, right?
Yeah.
And everybody says, oh, cops need more training, need more training. What is it? What is the training that you think that cops need more of?
Ross, that's a great question, man. And you can train for any situation, right? You can train for an active shooter. We see that all the time in the military. You even see that in police training. When I say that, I mean like personal experience. I think if you go to some type of call and you've never experienced what this little child has gone through, or this woman who just took a beating, or this man who just took a beating from his wife, and everybody thinks that it's just women that get abused, or whatever the case may be, unless you've really been in some situations or been through those type of calls a lot, or even been through it yourself, your training only comes from experience. And that's what I mean. That's why I was told when I first got hired that it's going to take you 5 years to learn how to be a cop, minimum. And I was like, what? Like, we do 4 months of field training after 6 to 8 months of the academy. And like, you're supposed to know. No, there's thousands of laws and there's thousands of ways to handle one call. So when it comes to training, I think that I'm summing that up as experience, because every call is different. It could be the same call 100 times over, but it's different every time because somebody's got something going on. I can't give details, obviously, of the things that I've experienced, but I will tell you what has helped me get through those calls and kept people from losing their mind on me or like trying to fight me was the way that I approached them, and it's only because of experience. And that's it. It's the takeaways of things that I've learned over time. You can't just walk into a room and we fake a domestic violence call and then train to it, right? Mm-hmm. You can, and you might get something out of it and it might help you. But I think all that stuff just comes over time and learning what has worked for you in the past and what hasn't. That's the struggle, in my opinion, sometimes about being a police officer, is just a lack of time, a lack of time.
So with that lack of time, because I find this fascinating. My wife and I just had this conversation the other night. We watched a defund the police thing on the local news, right? Because they're trying to do it in Austin.
Yeah.
They passed the thing with the city council. And I said the same thing. I said, look, man, if you need more training or more like psychology, you're taking psychology at a college right now, I would argue that you would need more funding for the police in order to get the extra training that you're talking about to go out and get a degree in psychology
This isn't an argument. This is basic human intelligence.
I think so too,
right?
But in the media, it is not that way. And I literally just throw up my hands and I'm like, what the fuck, man? We need
more
funding,
money for more training
for the police.
Well, some
if
of the
you want
better
to have better officers.
Yes. Some of the things people are saying on the left, for example, are we need to reimagine what community safety is. I think that's a good thing to say, frankly. But the idea that your first instinct was to take money away from, like, what organization or group or if it's a machine even, where can you take money away and it get better?
Yeah, nowhere.
Does that even exist? No. That's the dumbest shit I've ever heard in my life.
That doesn't make sense.
It's dumb as fuck. It's actually what the Republicans did with the post office, by the way. Mm-hmm. So, you know, back in the day, USPS was doing pretty well, and it was the Bush administration wanted to privatize the post office.
Right,
they wanted to make it a private organization and not a public organization. So what they did was they passed a bill that required the post office, USPS, to fund 75 years in advance their pensions. That is retarded. First, no other organization on earth does that. So they're required to project how many people will be working for them over the next 75 years and upfront fund all their shit. USPS, without that requirement, would profit somewhere around $500 to $600 million a year. But now they're in the red, right, because of this stupid bullshit. And the same thing with this, right? It's the same thing. You put unnecessary restrictions on an organization that you don't like because you know you want it to fail. That's all it is. They want police to fail because it supports their narrative. That's it.
Yeah.
And I'm not down with that, man. This idea that we can use politics in a way that benefits us individually, that is the behavior of a sociopath. And anybody that does shit, right or left, can get fucked.
Yeah, look, man, I agree. And look, obviously, you've been on the show, listened to the show a million times.
Yeah.
Like, we are very pro first responder and police and all that stuff. So you know how we lean on all of that. How long do you see yourself doing it? Because I know it's a job that, is it 20 years to
great
get retirement?
Question. Yeah. Great question. Well, they do buyback time for military time. I have 13 years, so I can have my buyback time for that. I can get an early retirement, basically. But I'm waiting until my son graduates, and then I'm gone.
Okay.
I love this job. I have so much passion for it.
How old is he?
He's 14 in a few days.
Okay. So graduates high school?
So I got 4 years, basically. Yeah.
Okay.
Sam and I are going to get a Sprinter van, and we're just going to travel. That's it. Already have a retirement for the rest of my life. I can do what I want. We're going to live in a Sprinter van for a couple years. Then we're going to pick a place that we want to stay that we love the most. Then we're going to build a house there.
That's funny, man. My wife and I did the same thing. We just picked a city. When we decided to have children, I was like, look, man, LA is toxic.
Yeah.
I can pretty much just commute back and forth.
I hated LA.
It's the worst.
Dude, I hated LA.
I can direct one movie a year. I can write a book a year and then whatever, right? And we just picked a place that we wanted to live and thought it would be great to raise a family.
Yep.
It was Wilmington, North Carolina, and we had a blast, and I highly recommend it.
Yeah.
If you can do
I've
that.
I've been there. It's beautiful, man.
Yeah. Anywhere, really. Yeah. That makes you happy. But you have to get to that place where you can do that. So that's why I was asking if you had an exit strategy.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. We have a good plan. You know, hell, I mean, people don't think I'm a cop anyway half of the time. You know, I've had the cops call to me, I don't know, 3 times already because people thought that I was faking being a cop because of my tattoos. I swear to God.
Really?
I can't make this shit up, man. One time, Sam and I went to go buy something at a store. I'll leave the store unnamed because I know that they'll hear about this, okay?
Yeah.
We walk up to the store. It's raining outside. I've got a black hoodie on that says 2nd Battalion, 5th Marines. Obviously, you can see my hands.
Yeah.
Well, I walk up to the door, and it was like right as COVID kind of kicked off.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the manager walks up the door, and I just watched somebody walk into the store.
Yeah.
And I just needed to buy some new sticky gloves for work because I had lost mine the night before chasing a suspect. So I was like, okay, I just need to get some new gloves today. I walk up and I said, hey, I just need to come in and get some gloves. And he had shut the door real quick. And he looks at me and he's like, no, we're closed. And I said, but I just watched somebody walk in and purchase something and your door says you're open. And I had my hands right here. So I pulled my hands out of my jacket. He's like, no, we're closed. And so I thought at that point that he thought I was trying to rob him. So I showed him my badge. I said, I'm a police officer. I just need to get some gloves. I need to come in and get some gloves. It's raining. I need to go to work tonight. He says, nope, we're closed. Turns around and walks away. And I'm like, are you kidding me? So I walk to my truck. We go down the road to Chick-fil-A, grab some food. I'm sitting in the parking lot. A bunch of squad cars pull up on me. Cop gets out, comes up to the window, is like, hey, did you just have an incident at this store? And I go, incident? I was like, no, I just went to buy some gloves. And she goes, okay, are you like pretending to be a police officer? And I can't make the shit up, Ross. Dan, I'm not even joking. And I go, pretending. I said, first off, here's my badge. I said, second, here's my ID proving that I'm a certified peace officer in this state.
Yeah.
And all the cops are like, well, okay. And I said, am I free to go? You know, they can't detain me for that, right?
Right.
So I'm like, am I free to go then? She's like, yeah, sure. And I'm like, did that really just happen? Mm. He called the cops on me because he thought I was a fake cop.
Or he thought you were black.
Man, okay. it was crazy. I'm sitting there like, what the? I'm like, okay. And then a separate time, somebody came into where we live, and they were trying to break into somebody's house. And I'd caught them red-handed. Well, I pulled out my badge because I had just gotten off duty, pulled out my badge, and I said, hey, man, you're not going anywhere until the police show because I know what you're doing. He's like, yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. And I was telling him to walk down the hall. One of the other, there's a person that lives down there, calls 911 and says, there's some guy pretending to be a cop that's holding somebody against their will. And I'm like, the cops call me and show up. And I'm like, nope, I'm actually a police officer. He was trying to burglarize his house, whom I know he doesn't live there because my friends live there.
Mm.
And I was stopping him and I am holding him for you. And they're like, oh yeah, we know this guy. And I was like, I'm really a cop. And that girl, she was
by
like...
By the way, even if you're a private citizen and you see somebody attempting a felony, which burglary is a felony, you can stop and detain them.
You can stop and detain them.
Even if he wasn't a police officer, you can still do that. By the way, if you witness a felony with your own two eyeballs, this is in all 50 states, so, you can stop and detain that person. It's a citizen's arrest. It's a real thing.
Absolutely.
God damn it.
Yeah. And
learn
she's
the
like,
fucking
I'm
laws.
So sorry. She's like, I'm so sorry. I didn't know. And I'm like, yeah, you need to get educated, lady. But yeah, man, it's yeah. I've been a couple times.
There's
but,
no police officer should not know that information.
Yeah,
by
in
the
a
way.
Few years, man, I'm done. I'm done for sure. Yeah.
That's oh, funny. Last question on this: has anybody recognized you from social media while you were out on beat and been like, "Yo, aren't you fucking Tank Machine?"
All the time. Yeah, cops. I had a cop the other night that I that had backed me up on a traffic stop, and then he goes, and he starts mumbling as he's walking back, and I'd cleared the stop, and he goes, can I get a photo with you, man? And I looked at him, and I go, why? And he goes, dude, I know who you are. He's like, you're Tank. He's like, oh, my God, I love you. I used to watch all your videos.
Yeah.
And he's like, please. And he's, like, selfieing with me on the side of the road. And I'm like, should we be doing this right now? Yeah, that happened with a cop. I actually went on a call one time. I'll leave it unnamed with details. But basically, somebody had gotten seriously injured. That somebody's boyfriend walks up while that person's being transported and says, hey man, is there any way I can get a selfie with you real quick? He goes, I used to watch your Black Rifle Coffee videos. And I was like, no, you can't get it. I'm like, no, get away from me. I was like, no, I don't do that no more. Like, no, stop. And he's like, oh, I'm sorry, man, but it's nice to meet you. And goes to shake my hand. And I'm like, yeah, but it happens all the time, man. All the time.
You should arrest that other cop though. Like, just tell him like, hey, I can't have anybody knowing who I am.
So I told him, I told him to keep the photo off of social media, man. Yeah. I was like, I don't need that nonsense.
I would have arrested him.
That's hilarious. Well, look, now's the point in the show. We get to the drinking bro of the week, which is obviously somebody who has inspired you or helped you to become the person you are today. Tank, I want you to give the drinking bro of the week. Who has helped you or inspired you since all of this craziness has happened? You've changed your life.
Yeah, man. So I've actually brought a couple of buddies here with me. You know, when I had to give my dog back for those reasons we talked about earlier, I recently got another Belgian Malinois. And she's going through training, and I'd like her to be a service dog one day. You know, I have 100% from the VA, so it's important for me to be involved in something of where people actually give back to the community. What I love about this nonprofit, it's Operation Operation Mutt 22.
Mm-hmm.
And basically they train service dogs for not only, this is what I love the most, is not only for service members that have post-traumatic stress, not only for first responders, but for like rape victims or victims of domestic abuse or whatever the case may be. So,
by the way, is the most common cause of PTSD, rape, and domestic violence. Those are two most common causes.
Yeah,
Not military veterans, not police or EMT seeing shit on the road.
It's interesting. It because you never would have think that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look.
Again, the media, the way the media portrays it.
Yeah, of course. When we first started dealing with it as an organization, the first people they brought in were former rape counselors to discuss that shit with military people back in the early 2000s. Yeah.
Well, when I had come across Operation Mutt 22, that was one of the things that really stood out to me. I'm like, you never hear that. You know, you really don't. So when I had reached out to Justin, who's the founder of the company, he said, hey, my buddy and I, we got together and we just wanted to do this. We don't want nothing out of it. Mm-hmm. If you're willing to donate, then donate. But what we want to do is add to the 44 dogs that we've already given away and trained fully. If you can help us do that, that would be great. And I said, well, can we start, you know, training my dog?
Sure.
And then I've been around them every day for the last few weeks and just watched what they do. And it was really intriguing to me. So I think that they deserve that spot.
Yeah, the drinking bro of the
week. Because they're doing great things, not only for the veteran community, first responders, but for men and women who have been abused that just need a companion or need somebody that has a special tick and they need the dog to stop it. So I brought a little flyer. I'm actually going to bring Justin up if you
great.
Guys are cool
actually,
with that.
Yeah, if you wouldn't mind sliding this chair over here, you can come on the microphone. That'd be great.
But I brought this
Giorgio,
this
one works here, right? This fourth one? Okay, great.
Well, I'm going to let, you know, if you guys
you
are cool with
it.
Go to
a two shot so he can show that flyer, Giorgio.
Yeah, where we at right here?
There you go.
So it's Operation Mutt 22.
I know.
Right and... We got some contact information on the back. I'll let Justin talk about it, but he's got his dog. Can we put the dog on top? Can we get the dog?
Yes,
up here?
Absolutely.
Right here.
We don't care. Yes, absolutely.
So this is one of his.
Will the dog jump on top of the desk?
Oh
will
yeah.
The dog jump on top That's of
great.
The desk.
The dog will do what it's told.
That's great. Really?
Because it's a well-trained dog.
God, really?
So we've got.
Well, maybe not.
Go to a wide.
I think.
Go to there a you wide.
Go. Let's see if the dog will jump. Oh, in. There my, we go. The dog's on
bag.
The desk.
I got my bag there, so my bag was in the way. The dog was standing on it. But so this is one of his dogs that he takes with him everywhere. I just want Justin just to talk a little bit about the company. So if there's somebody out there that needs help, you guys can reach out to him. And if you would like to donate to the company, everything is checked and balanced. And there's an accountant. It's a no shit business. And if you guys are willing to help them grow, that would be
dog,
a great
by
thing.
The way. Yeah. Is this your dog? It is. Come right up close to the mic. Yeah. Yeah, there you go. It's perfect. That's perfect.
That better?
What's your name, first of all? Great to meet you. What is the website that you have?
So it's actually om22.net. So like I said, what Tink said, we're Operation Mutt 22. We're founded by veterans. Like Tink also said, we're not only just helping veterans. That was a big part of our mission in the beginning. We very quickly saw that there was a lot more to it than that, though. So we kind of expanded out. We did realize that a lot of people weren't doing it. There was a lot of people that needed help from that. So a good friend of mine, Jacob Robinson and I, we founded this thing together. We've been pushing really hard since we've only been alive since 2018 as an organization. So we've just really been trucking it and just
I think
pushing
it's like 21 total years of dog training between just the two of you, right? Something like that. Yeah,
there's a lot of experience.
It's amazing. The beauty of this
definitely.
Is because I can't see you from the dog. I get to watch you on the monitor right here. And I get to ask you questions through that. Appreciate you, Papa Giorgio, for that's popping good. That up. How can people help your organization?
There's a couple different ways to help. I think the most important way that we could use help at this point, though, is education. There's especially with, like we talked about, as far as, rape victims, people don't talk about that. They have a hard time talking about it. They don't normally come out themselves and talk about it. I think we all know people who have been through traumatic events. Some people, they ask themselves, will a dog help me? What will help me? Will medical treatment help me? What will help me? I think education, just kind of exposing what we're doing and letting people know what we're doing is going to help us out quite a bit. I will tell you that as far as like military veterans and first responders, we get a lot of police officers, a lot of firefighters, a lot of military guys. It's usually not them knocking on our door. It's normally like the wife, sometimes a kid. We've even helped a couple Gold Star families. We've placed some dogs with them. We've placed a couple dogs with young kids, that had some pretty traumatic things happen to them. So I think number one, the way that we could use help is exposure, just getting out what we're doing, what we're here for, what we're about, and how passionate we are about doing it. Number two, obviously, with that comes a bill. There are, expenses in this. We could always use the help. And it's not just money, there's things that people have helped us out with, dog food before, and that helps because, we're keeping these dogs long term. We're raising them as puppies. Hey, girl. We're raising them as young pups. So
let me touch
really
on that real quick, Ross, if you're cool with it.
Absolutely.
Just go to a lot of people think, hey, man, we'll just go to a shelter and we're going to grab a dog. And since the dogs are grown, and we'll just pay $25, get it out, and then we'll raise it. What they do with the donations is they get a dog from a complete badass bloodline.
Mm-hmm.
They raise it from being a puppy, train it all the way until it goes into your home for you specifically. So if somebody has an issue, what they do is they find the specific breed, and then they build the dog up to your problem so your dog is perfectly matched for you. And that's what's the great thing about it, man, is it's not like you're just getting any random dog and they're just going to build it for you and then go from there, because not every dog is matched for somebody's personality.
Sure.
So they meet with you. It's like an interview. Mm-hmm. And then they find out what dog's going to work for you and what's not. So, I do a lot of research these days, especially in the job that I do. I've really learned that it's important to research things. I've done everything I can to know about this guy prior to even stepping foot into his door, prior to figuring out what I'm going to do with my dog. I'm very high drive, and I wanted a dog who's high drive. So in the end, I wanted to make sure that I was going to do the things with my dog that would match my personality right. There's guys who just need a lab, or maybe they need some other type of dog. But that's what I really loved about them is it's not just, hey, we're going to get a dog, and then we're going to figure it out for you. It's we're going to figure out who you are. We're going to get a puppy from the beginning with our donations, the kennel, the food, and everything else. And then that dog is going to be paired with you when it's time.
Right, and that website is om22.net, by the way. That's OscarMike22.net.
And that is Operation Mutt 22. Tank, thanks for coming back on the show.
Thanks, man.
Look, I know we've been friends for years and all that stuff.
Yeah, we
but,
have.
You know, sometimes you lose touch, and you are one of those people who I think is so inspirational and helpful to others. That hearing your story today, I think, will help a lot of people.
Thanks, brother.
And I'm proud of you for all you're doing.
Thank
and,
you. Yeah, I appreciate that.
Your life is fantastic, man.
Thank you. I'm truly blessed. I appreciate you guys having me on here. And I think the whole vision of today was not to come on here and be the crazy wild guy that I used to be and once was. I wanted to show people that you can be in the deepest, darkest rut or a hole that you never think that you're going to be able to get out of. And with just learning that you're important and that you're special and there's still people out there willing to help you, you can climb to the top of the mountain again. And so that was kind of it for me, man. And I am so humbled to be here with you and Dan again today. And, you know, it's been 2 or 3 years since I've done this with you. Mm-hmm. And I'm truly thankful that you allowed me to sit up here and shed some tears and just talk about things. And again, I hope that somebody does receive something out of this.
They always do. They always do. So thank you, man, for being here. We greatly appreciate it. For D'Anthony Holloway, Tank Machine, and Operation Mutt 22, I'm Ross Patterson. We are the Drinking Bros. Good night, everyone.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.